It would be unkind if I didn't take just a moment of time to express my appreciation for your presence tonight as we've come together to worship the Lord and to study more from His divine Word. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to the book of John in the third chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, John chapter 3. If you're visiting with this church family, we're delighted to have you in our study. I have no intention of ridiculing anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth. If you find I type something wrong, I stand to be corrected. Or if you feel that I've misrepresented your position in some way, I stand to be corrected. But if truth is taught, we pray you'll make the proper application. If you've never been baptized upon your faith in Jesus Christ, you would do so tonight, as is taught in Acts 2:38. Or if you need to be restored, we pray you do so this very evening. In the book of John, in the third chapter, begin reading with me at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again." At this time, I thought about if you were living in the days of Jesus and you could ask him a question, what would you have asked him? If you had an opportunity to make a discussion with the Son of the Living God while he was in the flesh on this earth, just exactly what would you have liked to have discussed with him? I'm sure that there are many subjects that come to your mind. Perhaps you might want to ask him, what's heaven like? And can you tell me what it will be like when we are raised from the dead? And what will it be like in the judgment? I do not know what may have been on your mind, but here was a man who had the opportunity to go to Jesus and have a discussion. And we read where the record shows exactly what they discussed. The first thing I want to put into our mind is looking at this man identified as Nicodemus. And I want us to understand that this man was a man that many times we just focus on that came at night. Now, I do not know why he came at night. Perhaps it was the only time Jesus had some quiet time where he could have a discussion. Perhaps he was fearful of what others might think. While I do not know that he came, the important thing is that he came. And notice that when he comes, he's a very brilliant man. We find out that he is a member of the Sanhedrin. So to be on that council, one would have to have great knowledge of the old law. And we find that he is a religious man. He's not ashamed of his religion. And that he came and he was one that was conscientious of keeping the law of Moses. And he is no doubt a sincere man. Sincerity drove him to find out more about Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, one thing I know, and we all know, you come from God. No one could work the works that you're doing unless God sent him." But then I want you to think about something else. This man was kind and gracious to the Lord. He was not arrogant acting. He was not condescending. He did not look at Jesus with some sort of an attitude that would think he was superior. But he came to Jesus with questions. But then I want you to think of something else. This man had knowledge of the Almighty. For this man to say, "We know you're a teacher of God," shows this man had some knowledge of who God is and who God had taught, brought, sent to teach the truth. Now then, that raises our second thought in our study. When you look at Nicodemus, you see a good man, but you see a confused man. And I want you to understand that he was confused about at least two things. And when I look at the text, I see his confusion. And notice Jesus answers two things to this man, and yet he still seems confused in one way. First of all, notice, if you will, that he seems to be confused about the kingdom of God. Go back to the book of John and the third chapter, and notice that Jesus uses the word, the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if one is going to be in the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Underscore kingdom of God. That is what Nicodemus was concerned about. He wanted to make sure that he was in God's kingdom. And so when he came to talk to Jesus, Jesus just answers him, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, he said, you must be born again. But it seems that they were far apart in their thinking of what the kingdom really is. Nicodemus seems to have in mind a political kingdom. He might have been thinking back about in the days of David, when the kingdom of Israel was strong and the fame of that kingdom was well known. And perhaps he's thinking, now Jesus, you're getting to be known throughout this region. Have you come to restore the kingdom that David had built? Are you going to be a mighty warrior like David? Are you going to put us under the rule in Jerusalem? Are we going to have a kingdom for the Jews? But notice, that's his view of the kingdom. Jesus has a different view. When Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about a political kingdom. I would tonight that we could get a lot of men and women who are of a religious persuasion to see that Jesus is not going to come back and set up an earthly kingdom and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. That is a man-made doctrine. Jesus has always said he is setting up a spiritual kingdom. Take your Bible and look in the book of John and the 18th chapter. And Jesus is being tried at this time, and Pilate is asking him a question. And he asked Jesus, what have you done? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you. And Jesus said, I want you to know one thing in verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, I did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke and the 17th chapter. And in Luke 17, Jesus is teaching, and drop down and see what he says in verse 21. In verse 21, he says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Underscore within you. If you are in God's kingdom, you know the territory that Jesus rules over and reigns over is not in Israel. It's not in the Middle East. It's not in this country. It's in the hearts of men and women who subject themselves to the king. The territory the King Jesus rules over is your heart. That is where he wants to rule. That is where he wants to be, in your heart. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter and the 14th chapter, and notice again something Jesus says in verse 17. When they had argued about what food should be eaten and should not be eaten, you remember that Paul said the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So what is the kingdom of God, Paul? Is it something in Israel? He said, no, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This much I know tonight, the kingdom of God is that which God reigns over in His people. It's within you. It's not eating and drinking. It's not physical land. It's people who let God rule their heart. Now, Nicodemus was confused about that. And you'll find there are a lot of people tonight who are still confused about the kingdom of God. But the second thing he was confused about was the new birth. He did not understand the new birth. Go back to John 3 for just a moment. And in John 3, when Jesus said that one must be born again, look at his question in verse 4. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking again fleshly. He's thinking again physically. He doesn't understand that Jesus is speaking spiritually. One obviously cannot be born a second time from their mother's womb. And so Jesus begins to explain to him. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is trying to get him to see that there is a new birth, and Jesus is talking about spiritually. Now then, notice Jesus clears up the issue. Jesus tells him that you must be born again. And notice what he says, of the water and of the Spirit. Now we're going to get to that in just a moment. But notice Nicodemus is confused over the issue of the kingdom and over the new birth. And so Jesus takes this man back to the people in the Old Testament in Numbers 21. Look down, if you will, in John 3 at verse 14. And he takes him back and he says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Well, remember, that's Numbers 14. When they had complained against God and they began to say, oh, they brought us out in this wilderness to die. Then the snakes began to bite and the snakes began to kill the people. And they went to Moses and said, we've sinned against the Lord. And the Lord said, put a serpent upon a brazen serpent upon a pole, and those who look will be saved. Nicodemus knew that. So as soon as Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so the Son of Man, he must be lifted up. Now, Jesus is teaching the cross. Jesus is telling him, I will be lifted up on the cross, and you must come to me. Nicodemus knew the ones who looked in the Old Testament were the ones who were made new. They didn't die. They were saved by the grace of God. All they did was look. And so the answer is clear. You do what I tell you, and you'll be born into the kingdom. Now, what does one do today? What is the spiritual birth? You know, it's not that complicated. In fact, the business, we can look at just two passages and establish what Jesus is talking about. Take your Bible and look in the book of Acts and the second chapter. And many times when we go to the Acts 2, we say, well, we know all about Acts 2. And we get down to verse 38 and we say, we know all about verse 38. And yet it answers the question of the new birth. On that day when Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the new birth. That's salvation. That's one being promised and sealed by the Spirit when they come up out of the water. You were dead in your sin. You were buried with Christ. Then you were raised in newness of life. What's newness of life? Newness of life is birth. When you give life, it's new. You don't have to say that. I heard a comedian one time make the statement. He said, you ever notice when you go to buy a car, it always says new baby? Have you ever seen an old baby? Does that really need the word new? You don't want to go in and say, my friend had a baby and I forgot. Time got away from him. I mean, he's 8. That's no longer a baby. A baby is one who's been spiritually born. He's a new creation, walking in newness of life. Then take your Bible, and you'll find that in Romans 6. But I want us to go to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, look at what Paul says in verse 5. In verse 5, when he talked about the kindness and love of God, and he talks about what God has done toward men, he said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Look at that word, renew, made new. And look again at that word, He saved us. When I go down into the watery grave of baptism, who saves me? Jesus does. How does He save us? By His mercy, he says in Titus 2:5. He shows mercy to me. Do I deserve it? He said, no, you don't. You didn't do any works of righteousness to save yourself. He said, God's the one who took away the sin. And He washed us. He regenerated us. He renewed us with the Spirit of God. Now, my friend, when one is baptized, what does that mean? They have been born again. When one is born again, they have been baptized into Christ. They've been raised up to walk in newness of life. Now that raises three or four things in the lesson series. You know what you and I need to realize tonight? If we've never put on Christ and baptized, we're dead spiritually. in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Spiritually, you're separated from God. You're alive in the flesh, but spiritually, in the eyes of God, you're dead. So that brings up an important thing. I need spiritual life. Because if I'm not born again, I'm going to die twice. I'll die physically, and I'll die eternally, spiritually, from God. So I know that Jesus is the only one that can give me new life. Do you recognize tonight that if you do not have new life, you've not been born again, you still are separated from God. So what I need to do is be born again. And that's not complicated. I just do what God told me to do. I go down into the watery grave and I'm raised up. Now, does that mean after life, after that, it's over? No. Now it means I walk according to His will. Why? I've been born in the image of my Father. I'm going to walk according to His light. But that brings up a third thing. We need to help each one be willing to do what the Lord told Nicodemus. You know, we got some young men and young ladies in this audience who've not yet been baptized, and yet they know what the purpose is. I remember one time talking to a couple of young people about baptism, and they said, why are you talking to us? We know we need to be baptized. And I said, why haven't you done it? You don't do it to please mama and daddy. You don't do it to please your grandparents. You do it because you want to be born again and have your sins forgiven. You're here to please God. Your life needs to be focused on God. And I don't care, my friend, what you've done in your past. What you need to do is be born again, and then your past is taken care of. You've been renewed. I've had some people say, oh, I wish I could have a mulligan in life. Start over. You know, my friend, there's no mulligans in life, but you can have a new beginning in Christ. But that brings up another thing. What holds you back? Confusion? I tell you what, if I can't explain it, Brother Guy would be glad to explain to you in words that you can understand. The elders would be glad to explain to you. Men and women in this congregation would be glad to sit down with you and explain to you. But what keeps you from obeying the gospel? Pride? Is it your pride? That's kept a lot of people back. They don't ever want to come to Jesus. They never want to admit they need God. But I'll tell you something, my friend, in love and humility, whatever keeps you back from obeying the gospel is not worth losing your soul over. You must be born again. And if you're confused, we'll be glad to sit down and talk to you about what you need to do in order to have your sins blotted out by the blood of Christ. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, we pray you come as together we stand.